In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In times when we have shared this gospel before, I have postulated what it must have felt like to Thomas to have been left out. God knows everything. God knew when he came to visit the disciples that Thomas was absent. He knew that. Why then? What was on the mind of the Lord to instruct us and Thomas? Because Thomas was the weakest one in belief. Now you know the story already. I hope you remember it. At the Dormition of the Holy Virgin Saint Mary, Thomas had been called, and he came late, and the disciples rebuked him, and they said, "Couldn't you even have been here on time to have seen her assumption into heaven?" And he said, "I did." I don't know if they called him a liar, but I know they did not believe him because indeed he was not amongst them. But Thomas had independently seen Saint Mary being assumed into heaven and her waistband dropped, and he had it in his possession. So when the disciples didn't believe him, it brought into balance once again and restored the unity of the 12. Because Thomas was the odd man out. I mean, we still call him in our day Doubting Thomas. Well, why don't we call it the Doubting 11? Because they didn't believe Thomas's account when he told them. And yet it had happened exactly as he said. So you know that part of the story. What I want you to think about collaterally is that everyone, when they speak, they have a tone of voice. What was Thomas's tone of voice? Now, I don't know how familiar he was with these, his so-called brethren. Because I know brothers, and I know brothers hide things from each other. Brothers who are supposed to be closer than friends, but they hide things. They posture. They act tough instead of vulnerable. I know this occurs. Might he have been inside him sobbing? Why didn't my Father, why didn't my Lord, why didn't my Master, why didn't my God wait for me to come? Why not me? A lot of times we think that the only affect that men have is just one of blustering, like, "I'm not going to believe, I'm not going to believe this. You all say that, I'm not going to believe you." men have perhaps more dimension in their emotional lives than women. It's just hidden. And because it makes them feel so uncomfortable when they expose their vulnerability, they keep it hidden and pushed down into the deepest recesses of their soul. But men are by far more passionate than women. By far. Think of just the romantic period in classical music. Just the Russians that you know. You know? Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov. I mean, there's bunches of them. They're just, and the music is wild. The overture to Romeo and Juliet is an amazing piece. Find female composers from today. They don't They don't begin to approach. I mean, there's so many things that men hide. There's so many pains that they endure in silence. Have you ever seen a monster movie? Every time a monster comes in the front door, the women scream. And the men go, blankety blank blank. Because that's what men do. Some vile imprecation. I can't be any more profane than I've already been, but you know what I'm thinking. That's how men are trained. Why aren't women the great protectors called the mother bears when their children are concerned? Why can't they go out and fight first? Protecting their children at home. Send out all the grandmas with, you know, AK-47s. Anton Kalashnikov, in case you didn't know what the AK was for. The guy that made the rifle. Let me tell you, men have things that you women, unless you are very quiet and very observing, will never figure out. Because the man will hide every single thing he possibly can, because from the time he's a young boy, suck it up, don't cry, it's okay, don't cry. What do you mean, don't cry? It hurts. Hurts like crazy. If a boy cries too long, what is he? He's a sissy. Yeah? We raise our boys this way. We men who know what pain we carry. What did Thoreau say? Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Most men lead lives of despair. They despair. Their circumstances pain them almost to the point where they would take their own lives. But they push on. They push on. So think about Thomas. Thomas is a man. And believe me, times were tougher back then than they are now. We have become so much more sensitive in our day than they were in that day. But I tell you, in my opinion, Thomas, on the inside, was screaming in pain. He said, why? It's why the Lord, when he came to him, he said, peace to you. You know, people don't think that they are compromising their peace when they start to try to acquire a goal that isn't godly. There's inevitably a compromise of one's integrity when you are pursuing anything that is ungodly. But how often does it happen that even after you have attained the thing that you were looking for, you say, now, I'm not very happy. And again, that person has no peace. Because where does he go? At first he thought, in his quest, which may take years, it may take decades, for him to finally conquer, if indeed he can. So you have a distraction for years or decades of why you have no peace. Well, of course I have no peace. I'm on this great fight. This journey of aggression. I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to get this thing. And then he gets it and he has no peace. Then you really find Thoreau's statement hitting home. Despair. depression. Why are so many people depressed? Why is it all of a sudden in our age, it's like God didn't know that we were going to require more serotonin? Gee, God, I'd like a double dose if you don't mind. This is what Aldous Huxley said when they had Soma. Remember Brave New World? Yeah, you get a little shot of Soma. By the way, there is a drug called Soma. When I heard about that, I smirked. I thought, well. But whatever your problems were, you would take this drug and then you would have peace. Do you know how many drug addicts I've known in my lifetime, such as it's been? It's amazing. I mean, they're in my family. When you have people that are dependent upon drugs, exogenous influences, in order to balance a skewed mind, if their mind would be right, they would not need the drugs. But their mind is far from right. They've lost the way. They don't even know how to get back. Because the ordinary things that we would find prescriptive in our lives, it has no meaning for them. They're so attenuated and drawn out and far away from the center of the one who gave them life and created them for a distinct purpose, they don't know what direction to turn. It's horrible. Peace gives you everything. That's what we always say, irene passi. All the time. Peace. Peace. Don't fight. You know? I want that. Have it. Oh, but you can't have it because I want it too. Oh, there's a discrete number of these, and there's more of us that want them than there are of them. So therefore, who will take them? I don't like to share. I want my own. Because you don't play with it very well, and you're going to break it, and then it's not going to be as nice as it was. As children, that's how it goes. And as adults, whew, oh boy. They tried this, by the way, on the internet. There's a site, I believe, it might still be up, where women trade clothes. All kinds of women get together in groups, and you find a number of people your size, and then you go out and buy things, and you put on the line what you have after you've worn it for a while, and you just trade stuff. I'll trade you that sweater for that pair of pants, I'll trade you that blouse for that. And it goes on like that. I know it wasn't very successful. I know it wasn't very successful. Because although I don't have a computer, my ear is to the ground about things like this. That's why I know it and you don't. But I also want to say to you that this spirit in the first place, in the very first place, started when there was a whole world to be divided. There was just Cain and Abel. There should have been plenty of stuff to go around. You take that river, I'll take this river. You take that mountain, I'll take that mountain. You take that valley, I'll take that valley. As a matter of fact, I'll throw in an extra mountain if you let me have this valley. It wasn't enough. The whole, well, half to each. Wasn't enough. So out of jealousy, out of a sense of, well, it's not that I didn't do as well as you, and all I have to do is learn from you and imitate you, and then I will be accepted as you. Instead, it's, well, if you don't take me the way I am, and if you don't like me the way I am, I'm just going to kill you. Now, you can't kill God, so the one brother killed the object of God's affection and admiration. The sacrifice of the righteous Abel is accepted. And of Cain, unacceptability. Now, I said that God did not require the blood of Cain, because at that time, Cain did not yet understand the impact of murder. Nobody had died. Cain had never seen a dead man. No one had died. So they put a mark on Cain's forehead. Don't kill this guy. Let him live and let him think about what has occurred. Now, of course, we know he didn't learn his lessons. Hence, the Canaanites. And you may know that the Jews had some problems with the Canaanites, and it was Joshua and Jericho and those stories that remind us of that. But peace is something that is so elusive for so much of the world. I'll be happy if I have this. I'll be happy if I have that. But I am not at peace. I will not be at peace. I refuse the word peace to be upon me, because what it really is a shackle. See, I know what I want. I want the full freedom for my passionate embrace to explore everything in the world. Whether people have said it's good or people have said it's bad, I'm going to find out for myself. I'm going to find out for myself. No one's going to tell me. You cannot tell me that that paint is wet. You cannot tell me that the stove is hot. I'll touch it. If something bad happens, well, then I know. But you see, peace, part of peace is stifling that desire in humans to say I. Because as soon as you say I, you make yourself a singularity. You're no longer a part of a group. It's I. It's me. Behold. That's by the way, the only time it was correct. When ecce homo. In Latin, behold the man. Pontius Pilate said this of the Lord. Behold the man. By the way, there's an aside to this. There was a great baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals named Stan Musial. And he was called Stan the Man Musial. So when Artie Moreno, that great Mexican, bought the Angels and he got Albert Pujols to come over and play, he wanted to call him El Hombre, the man. Pujols, with quite a bit more gravitas than Mr. Moreno, although not as much money, refused the title. When you are called the man, you remember it was Jesus Christ that was called the man. There can only be a definite article used one time. Otherwise, it's an indefinite article. It doesn't mean anything. It's the oceans of the world. Which ocean? Well, the oceans. But if you talk about the ocean, now you must be specific, and it must be something that never changes. Because as soon as it's ephemeral, as soon as it's just the whim of polity, again, it becomes an indefinite article. Ecce homo. Behold the man. So I say to you, peace. Peace be unto you. Peace in your aspirations. Do you know what the word aspiration means? Spiritu. Spiritu. What does spiritu mean? Your spirit. Spirit is the same thing in Arabic as breath, ruh al-Qudus. And sometimes you find people playing with terms and they'll talk about a little baby, go, Yalohi. My spirit, my breath. Your breath should be directed upwards towards heaven. And then you will have peace, because you will not be disappointed. And the things that you wish to behold, you will. And the things that you wish to have, you will be given. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.